Well, now, Wolfram opened his story with this statement. Life and man's life is both black and white. It cannot be all one or all the other. Irresolution, living your life irresolutely, tends to increase the black. Living with resolution and determination moves toward the white. But no matter what you do, it's going to be black and white. And the world is going to criticize you, but be resolute. Now, the first virtue of his heroes is resolution, not vacillation. The Black Queen of Zazamankh was mourning the fact that her lover had died as a result of her irresolution in accepting his love. She didn't know this or that, and he, in desperation to show what a wonderful hero he was, had ridden into battle without armor in a kind of bravura and had been killed. This blackness of her world indicated the lack of resolution. Well, our Gahmaret comes back to Europe, and the White Queen of Wales, who is a virgin queen without a husband, she's gotten sick and tired of waiting for somebody to invite her to marriage, so she has arranged a tournament of which she is the prize. And she and her kingdom, and all the princes of all the lands of Europe have come to compete. They're all there, all the Arthurian heroes. It's a grand, grand affair. And the queen is sitting in her window looking out at the knights as they're assembling on the field, pitching their pavilions and so forth. And her page says to her, "Look at that pavilion there. Your whole realm isn't worth that. It had required 40 horses to transport it. And what was it? It was the pavilion of the king of Zazamankh, namely Gahmaret, who, without going further into this story, becomes the winner of the event. Well, on his return, he has learned of his brother's death and his mother's death, and so he is rather melancholy. And furthermore, he won the tournament even before the tournament began in what we call the Vesper Games. The knights started warming up on the field before the official start, and they warmed up so wonderfully that the whole thing developed into a battle. And the spears were splintering. They said, Wolfram says, the spears were like snow on the field. They were splintering all over the place. And he comes off the victor before the official battle. Well, what do you know? There he's sitting in his pavilion, and he's just received a letter from the Queen of France saying, you really are to come to me. And all these women all over the place, and in comes, beaming, Herzeloida, the Queen of Wales, and says, "You've won. I'm yours." And he says, "Well, just a minute now. This wasn't an official fight." And she says, and then he says also, I'm married. I have that wife of mine in Islam." She says, "Well, you have to get rid of that pagan wife and be married according to Christian custom," and so forth and so on. Well, finally, she, by argument and legal address, wins him. And the text says she took him by the hand, and he dismissed his sorrow, and she her maidenhead. And then the event was over, and she had this great lord. Well, as Wolfram says, the blade of her happiness broke soon at the hilt. He received word that the caliph of Baghdad was in dire straits, and he went to give battle in the caliph's cause and was killed in battle. So the next thing the little woman hears is that her husband is dead. And so she, in great sorrow, departs. Now, this is where the Parsifal story usually begins. Wolfram has added this business of Parsifal having a pagan brother, black and white, and Parsifal being the white brother in Christendom. The queen dismisses her court, goes into the forest, and brings her child up, ignorant of who he is, ignorant of his noble heritage, ignorant of war, ignorant of the court, ignorant even of his name. She calls him bon fils, cher fils, beau fils. That's all he ever hears of himself. He grows up in the forest, and this is the beginning of the great adventure now. A child of nature, sheer nature, no culture. When he hears the birds sing, they fill his little breast with such joy that he makes himself a little bow and arrow and shoots them. And then when he sees them dead, he can only cry and weep. But their song excites him, and he shoots them some more. This is the way human beings are. And she has told him nothing of his background, but only about God, how God is good and loyal and must be worshipped, and the devil, and how the devil is bad and must be despised. And when he reaches the age of about 16 or so, is up on the hills wandering when he hears hoofbeats. These are the first hoofbeats he's ever heard, and he thinks they must be devils coming. And there appear three knights flashing in armor, and he thinks these must be angels. And he gets down on his knees to pray to the angels. And their lord, a great prince, arrives with bells from his armor and great jingle tangles, and he's absolutely glorious, feathers and all this kind of thing. And here's this country bumpkin praying on his knees, "Oh Lord of help, give me help." So the knight courteously and in greatly gentlemanly fashion says, "We're not angels and divinities, young man, we're knights." What are knights? His heart is rising in excitement, because he is knightly in his character. His father was a great knight. He learns what knights are. He learns what the swords are for. He learns about the lances. And he learns about Arthur's court, where knights are made. So when he goes back and tells his mother, she faints. She thinks, well, I'll fix it up so he'll disgrace himself and be sent back to me. So she dresses him in a fool's costume, a long cloak of raw hemp pants that come halfway down his legs that are tied to the shirt and so forth, big leather, bulky raw leather shoes. She finds the stupidest horse she can find in the neighborhood and sets him on this, and he brings with him his javelins, and this thing goes riding to King Arthur's court. She also gives him certain instructions. Now, the characteristic of this young man is he does what he's told. This is the first fault. His mother says, "When you come to streams, cross at the shallowest point." So when he comes to a stream, as Wolfram says that a rooster could have crossed, he rides down until he comes to the shallowest point, and then he goes across. She told him, "When you see a fair lady, obtain a ring from her and a kiss. When you see people with gray hair, ask them for advice. And when you meet people on the road, greet them with, 'God be with you.'" So this lout goes forth, crosses the stream, and there on a plain before him, he sees a beautiful pavilion. He goes into the pavilion, and what does he find? A young wife, a young woman alone, sleeping on a bed with her bedclothes down, and as Wolfram says, God had fashioned that body. And this youth sees that she has a ring. So he pounces on the bed to get the ring, and a kiss also, which his mother told him to get. And this poor woman wakes up with this thing bouncing around on the bed, trying to get her ring off and grab a kiss from her. And he's a husky boy, and so he succeeds in this. Then he sees a sandwich or something like that on the shelf, and he makes a meal of what she has. And then he jumps on her for another kiss, and he sees she has a brooch, and he takes the brooch and rides off. Her husband returns, Prince Aurelius, and he says, "What?" And he's in enormous indignation, and he can't be told that she hadn't been violated by this fellow. So he tears her clothes to pieces, and he says, "You get on this horse." And he smashes up all her saddle and everything else, and here she has to ride on this poor nag with him before her, racing after this youth who's ridden off.